back tonight, every Monday. Mitch, who lives in the great Southwest somewhere, what are you seeing in your travels around? I know you get into urban areas occasionally. What's going on? What do you notice?
Well, the thing that I notice the most is just, it's sort of subtle how it's come on, but the obstruction of travel seems to be a major theme. It's like wherever you want to go, they're going to slow you down for a long time, period of time. They want to get you used to checkpoints. I think that's what they're doing by this.
Yes.
And this can be just inside the city itself. They can shut down lanes and, you know, act like they're doing some work, which you can see they're not. Okay. And
sure.
It's just to slow everybody down and get people used to waiting, I think.
I think that's very, very, very astute. The idea of slowing people down and impeding them from access to the goal that they're seeking, whatever that is, whether it's a drive across town or a vacation or a trip to the market, doesn't matter. They're slowing everything down. And then when it goes dark, when the grid goes down in your area, who knows when it'll come back on? We were warned. We were warned. I just worry about that. I can tell you this, in the Pacific Northwest, at least where I am in Oregon, there are a lot of wells that are going dry now that have never gone dry, ever. And that means the groundwater is now being pumped out. It's not being replenished by other groundwater. There hasn't been any substantial rain here since probably last February, something like that.
Wow.
It's crazy. So,
it is for that area.
Well, it's all engineering. It's geoengineering, and they put this heat dome. It's a kind of a pseudo high pressure area. It's not a high pressure on the map. You look at there's an interesting website out there, friends, and it's called windy.com. Windy, W-I-N-D-Y. And if you go look at that, you can pull up any area of the country and see the winds in your areas. And there's a slide on the right. You can raise it, and it starts at ground level wind, and then it goes up to, I don't know, 500 feet. Well, you could keep moving it up to over 6,000 feet in elevation, and it will show you with little moving arrows where the winds are. And we haven't had wind here, and I can't remember when. It's been a long time, and that's because of this static dome of heat electromagnetically created that has been placed over the Northwest and the northern part of California to create the drought of our lifetimes and then some. It's an historic drought. And I hope you've all seen Dane Wigington's video at the top of headlines where he takes a motorcycle and rides down to the bottom of what used to be the gigantic Lake Shasta. Anyhow, it's bad here. We have no weather here. None. It's just static. No air movement. Just smoke now because of the fires. It's rather dreadful. Anyhow, go ahead.
I have driven up in that area several times, and I'll tell you that it was always raining when I went there. I never saw a sunny day in the Northwest. Along the coast. If I go inland, it will be clear up there. But along the coast and the Cascades and stuff, it was always raining. I just find
not this year.
Mind-boggling that it's been so hot for so long and so dry for so long.
It's supposed to be 95 tomorrow.
Wow.
It's always 90 and up, over 100 many times. It's crazy. But it's all being done, like I said, it's not climate change. It is, but it's synthetic climate change.
So. Right. No, which was the first point that I was going to make, because I'm going to talk about the plan. I'll come back to this once in a while as the plan develops, but
sure.
All of the problems that the globalists create are intentional and artificially induced. This is because if you can create the problem, you can control the solution, okay?
You bet.
This is classical statecraft, okay? If you want to get something done, create the problem and then do what you want. So the objective of the global collapse in World War III is to collapse the physical, economic, political, cultural, and social infrastructure of the world to install an enlightened world leader who will lead a globalist totalitarian state. Some requirements that need to be met, because if you know what their goal is, you know what they have to do to reach it, is not having any power in the world strong enough that you have to negotiate with them, and to minimize the necessity of delegating authority. Okay, the second problem, this is possible if all world powers are destroyed and electronics can control the individual, like through artificial intelligence, Internet of Thing, and BodyNet, that can be initiated through the so-called COVID vaccine. So
that's exactly where we're going, Mitch. No, that was a good shot. Perfect, yeah.
There's an immense pressure to get as many humans vaccinated as possible before World War III. There are 8 billion people on Earth, and the forcing of the vaccine will be enough to disrupt supply and distribution chains, enough to collapse the world economy. Such a collapse itself will result in banditry, famine, and disease that could kill billions of humans. Let me give you a few examples of things that they do. One that we were just talking about, anthropogenic climate change. It's myth. It's voodoo science created to scare people. The solution is green energy. Green energy is inefficient, expensive, and an eyesore with all the solar panels and huge windmills obscuring the natural beauty of our planet, standing as idols for the aggrandizement of the global elites. The storage of green energy requires tons of toxic chemicals like thionyl chloride, used also to make nerve gases and insecticides that so many environmentalists hate. Where are they going to put all that waste at? Okay. And is it going to go into the groundwater? Yes, it will. Why trade the non-toxic and transitory pollution of carbon dioxide for the highly toxic and persistent pollution caused by solar storage batteries? It is not about logic. It is about impoverishing you. Who owns the companies that will build this green energy grid, and who will profit from the high prices they will charge? The global elite. Energy prices will be so high under the Green New Deal that they will swallow a greater percentage of your income than your home does. So you will not be able to afford a home or energy, leading to more poverty and homelessness, but on a major scale, as if it's not enough already. It's going to be more than that. Right. Another boogeyman they have created is crypto-terrorism threats. First, get everybody addicted to social media and make PCs essential for all work done, knowing all along that there's no real security in these systems. I had this fight in the Army as a young officer. They wanted all military systems computerized and digitized. Globalist elite tech companies pushed this on the Pentagon. We young officers who were end users of this technology in tanks and on the battlefield were appalled at the lack of any realism or concern for the troops. The senior officers that were pushing this technology knew all of these systems made us very vulnerable to attack, and that all of their electronics could be taken out in less than 60 seconds by enemy electronic warfare. Since this information was classified top secret, they could sell it to an unknowing public, knowing that our Congress people who got campaign funding by supporting the tech companies. Once again, the development of the Internet and its software would make a few people very rich, and the use of it would make life more expensive for the masses. The same vulnerabilities that we feared on the battleground applied to social media also. Electronics can locate you. What you say can be intercepted. No operational security or military, and no private for the military, and no privacy for the public. It is so ubiquitous that you cannot have many jobs or even get an education without one. With the COVID vaccine interfacing your body at the cellular level with the Internet, it creates both slaves and an underclass of outlawed, unvaccinated humans. So So examine the twisted logic of this. Because crypto-terrorism is such a major threat, as they say, we all need to be interfaced with the Internet so that the crypto-terrorism can be a threat to your body, not just to the supply chain and utilities. It's like saying, let's get even more vulnerable to the crypto attacks. It doesn't make any sense, okay?
No.
So the mandatory vaccines on their own will collapse the economy. Last time I talked about how people in the medical industry are losing their jobs because the medical companies mandating the vaccine as a condition of employment. This includes pharmaceutical companies. Russian news has had a report out today that said the CIA is paying doctors to refuse medical care to unvaccinated people and to publicly say so. The two biggest employers in America, Walmart and Amazon, require you to be vaccinated to work for them. They basically want you to sell your soul for a crappy job. And so today,
well, you have to. The biggest single question that all people should be asking in these times is, what is my life worth? Is it worth two Krispy Kreme donuts? Is it worth a job at Walmart selling Chinese communist crap? Is it worth taking a plane trip? I don't think so. And there's a lot more. So we've got real problems. What is your life worth? Your life.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. Go ahead.
So today is the last day of federal unemployment subsidies. And to get a job, you need to be vaccinated. So this is an employment cliff we're about to jump off of tomorrow. Okay, where there's going to be more demand for jobs. They need to move people into jobs to get them to get vaccinated. Okay, so in the European Union, the government has mandated COVID vaccines for all. They have made the unvaccinated into second-class citizens with few rights and many restrictions imposed upon them. There are riots and huge demonstrations in those nations. The USA is trying to do it piecemeal to avert these massive protests. But recent events have shown that they will eventually do the same here. For example, the Supreme Court allowed a Texas abortion law limiting abortions stand. Where is the Supreme Court going with this? Well, the reason why Roe versus Wade passed muster was based on privacy rights and the principle that it is your body, so you get to decide what you do with your body. A change has been brewing, though. As we know, the Patriot Act actually cancels the Fourth Amendment. So privacy, in fact, does not exist because the government does not have to respect the Fourth Amendment rights any longer.
Yeah,
and go ahead.
No, I say yes, correct. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and because the Bill of Rights only applies to the government, not private industries, social media may collect as much of your private information as they please because they don't have to abide by the Constitution. Okay, I've talked to some high school kids in Florida that have been taught for years that women under 18 years old should be forced to have an abortion whether they like it or not. In other words, no choice over their bodies. You are free to change your sex and wallow in confusion while seeking pleasures of the flesh, but you cannot have a baby.
Wow.
And so
amazing.
The Supreme Court is doing its part to wipe away the sacred fiction of your body, your decision, in order to make the case that you have to get the vaccine whether you want to or not. The whole it's my body, it's my choice thing, that has to disappear from the public mind. And the Supreme Court's doing its part. It is part of the emerging mindset that your body does not belong to you. It belongs to the state or to Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson. Do not make the mistake of thinking that the Supreme Court exists to protect your rights or your freedom. It exists to create legal fictions that fit the political, cultural, or social agendas. In summation, all of this is to take away individual freedom and choice. In other words, to impoverish us so that we depend on the globalist elite and enslave us to their wishes. The global elite will get richer, and with riches comes power. The poor are powerless, and the rich have all the power. How is the global elite going to destroy political power in the world, so one absolute ruler can dictate every aspect of your life. Well, by destroying the world and regional powers. This work has been in progress for a long time. So let me start with Latin America. The nations that could be influential were Mexico, Venezuela, and Brazil. Mexico is a failed state already due to criminals beyond the state's control. It is led by a Marxist government who has a liberal attitude towards criminals. AMLO thought that they should hug the drug traffickers instead of fight them. Okay. So oil-rich Venezuela is also a failed state where criminal gangs have more say-so in politics than law-abiding citizens do because they have to pay the gangs off to get compliance, something like they're doing in San Francisco, paying people to not murder other people. But they're not doing very much, like $300 if you don't kill somebody. In Brazil, crime has long been out of control. Now criminal gangs actually go out to smaller cities of about 200,000 people and make coordinated attacks on the town, shutting down law enforcement, then looting the town and robbing the banks. The criminal gangs are attacking entire cities.
Well,
it's 200,000. That's a good size
town. Seeds of things to come here, huh?
Oh, yes, I think so. Recently, President Bolsonaro encouraged every Brazilian to buy a rifle. He said, "You are not a man if you don't own a rifle." So he knows that's the only solution. Okay, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. You can see this trend happening in the USA. There is no protection from criminals. It is the criminals that are protected. They have even suggested that victims be forced to meet with their attackers and to help the attackers achieve restorative justice. Cynthia Nixon, running for mayor of New York City, states that looting is racial reparations. What kind of anarchy will this mindset lead to? I think we're seeing it develop. Good people become prisoners in their homes, and the prisoners run the country, basically. Run the streets.
Yeah, you're supposed to meet with your attacker. That's very clever.
Right.
Very clever.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You have to go meet with them, and you have to help them.
Shake hands with them and help them out and understand their pain and all this. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. And understand how it's your fault that you got attacked.
Oh, of course. That's understood.
So there's no powerful nation in Latin America that the enlightened world leader has to negotiate or compromise with. Let's move to Africa. There was only one first world nation in Africa, the Republic of South Africa. A journalist friend of mine in South Africa wrote me and said that South Africa is a failed state. He was amazed at how things changed in just the past year. While allowing attacks and murders of white people for decades, this summer the rioting over the conviction of former President Jacob Zuma caused black townships as well as white areas to be burned and looted, murdering many. He said that he was shocked to see the Indians take up arms to defend their neighborhoods, whites taking up arms to defend theirs, and even poor black townships taking up arms to defend their townships, okay, like their marketplaces and stuff. They need this stuff. They need it to live. They need water. They need sewage. They need all that stuff. And the rioters are destroying it all. In many cases, people of different races that had adjoining neighborhoods actually stood together to defend their turf against the racist black Marxist mobs. Safety is no longer at the group level, but down to the individual levels. The alliances are practical, not political or racial. He says that the rioters move towards a defended community. Nobody is shooting over their heads, using non-lethal means to discourage them, or waiting on military police that never show up. Rather, as soon as they see the mob coming at a distance, they start shooting to kill. This is the first time he's seen this happen in South Africa. Okay, so South Africa is a failed state. We should pay attention because we are headed down the same road invoked by the woke idiots in our nations.
Correct.
The enlightened world leader will have no one to negotiate or compromise with in Africa. In the Northern Hemisphere, events are happening apace. The European Union is failing. Brexit was just the beginning. The Eastern European nations do not accept the woke policies coming out of Brussels. They just got their nations back in 1992 and are not willing to turn them over to black Africans and Muslims as Western Europe has. The EU is already a totalitarian state, and they have already created the second-class citizenry of the unvaccinated, depriving them of freedoms of everyday life. But their citizens are not are out protesting, striking, and generally disobeying their government. Their economies are faltering under the restrictions. The European Union is becoming a failed state. No individual European Union is powerful enough to force the world leader to negotiate or compromise. So these things
keep in mind, Mitch, are all
planned out.
1 second. Yeah. Sure. We need to remember that this great reset also signals the end in the plans and the mind's eye of the elite. The end of nation states. They want them broken down. They want the borders all dissolved. That's what they want. And that's what we're seeing Biden and his communist controller Obama doing with the southern border. Here, they're trying to dissolve it.
Well, in the case of Canada, it's Canada that's closed off Americans coming in, not the other way around. Right. I mean, we do have a policy, but Canada's the one who's strong on not letting Americans come to visit them and stuff. So, then I want to talk about China because it's there's a lot of misconceptions about China, and China plants those misconceptions. They want people to believe the wrong things about them.
In fact, it's economically very frail. Hold on, Mitch.
Okay.
I got to take a good place to pause right there. We'll come back and pick it up. Mitchell Henderson here every Monday. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. Mitchell Henderson laying out some very good material for us, as he does each week. Go ahead, Mitch. Looking good.
Okay, well, I was talking about China, Jeff, and we don't get a lot of information about China over here. There are some sources like China Uncensored, which is a YouTube channel. There's also Sapienza. He describes a lot about Chinese culture and how China operates. There's the Epoch Times, which is a Falun Gong paper, and the South China Morning Post. I know that you look at that sometimes. Those are all good sources for what's really going on there. And what's happening in China is their infrastructure is crumbling. This past year, the Three Gorges Dam, which they just built, it was on the verge of collapse from
Still
all
is.
The rainwater.
it's moved.
And
you can
cities
see the,
down.
Yeah.
Yes, you can see it moving. And cities downstream are under a couple feet of water perpetually now. Bad weather has destroyed a lot of their crops and stuff. Also, one of their major ports is down because of infrastructure. And then when they have two ports plus their transportation infrastructure to get stuff to ports is slowed down, which is affecting supply chain, which is affecting their entire economy. So much so that they officially closed their stock exchange, and they're going to open up another one, okay, to take its place. So they're going to rig the game is what they're going to do. So the social credit system has caused a backlash within China. Okay, so a Chinese career is a 996 career, meaning working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week to afford a decent living. Okay, many Chinese are opting out, deciding to live in poverty in what is called lying down flat. Okay, the Chinese Communist Party calls this the apathy revolution. Okay. German Sea is trying to impose a new social regime on the Chinese. They have limited online gaming to 3 hours per week. per person. They have stopped any celebrity status of both performers and leaders of industry. In other words, there can be no God before Chairman Xi. Okay. Also, commercials and TV programs are not allowed to have effeminate-looking men in their media because China must appear manly and strong. All this is preparing China for war. They intend to take Taiwan soon, and they have said so openly. China has to do this before their economy collapses. This is a common thing that countries do. For example, when Argentina was falling apart in 1983, the military junta decided, well, let's go take the Falkland Islands back from Britain to unify the people. Okay, and yeah, it worked for a little while, but they lost the war and got egg on their face, so they ended up in the trial docket instead of running things, so things can go wrong. Japan has passed laws saying that their troops can fight in other lands with deadly force. They have decided that the USA will not help Taiwan no matter what. They are beefing up their defenses as well as their offensive capabilities. They've even put rockets on their disputed islands to shoot at Chinese ships as they come there. Japan has made a formal alliance with Taiwan even after Chairman Xi threatened to wipe them off the map with nuclear weapons. The Philippines feels much betrayed by the United States, and they have made agreements with Taiwan and Japan. That's because after the World Court found that Scarborough Shoals belonged to the Philippines, the United States State Department went over and had a sit down with China and the Philippines, got the Philippines to pull their troops out. China was supposed to pull their forces out, but China never did. And the Philippines feel that we're very unreliable allies for that very reason. Okay, it's not just intuition, it's experience. So Chairman Xi has paid the Biden family to ensure that the USA will not intervene in a Chinese invasion of Taiwan. All the neighboring nations know that. A major mess in Afghanistan has reassured China. China looks on the U.S. State Department, looks on as the U.S. State Department has become known as the biggest obstruction of two Americans fleeing Afghanistan. Like, for example, there's six chartered planes ready to depart Mazar-e Sharif Airport that the U.S. State Department will not allow to leave the
now
airport.
This is hard to believe. 142 Americans are on six privately paid for charter flights, and the U.S. State Department will not let them leave Afghanistan. Figure that one out, friends.
And at the same time, the State Department is bragging that they are running the largest resettlement of unknown and undocumented Afghans into American cities at taxpayers' expense.
Right.
That plus our gay pride and BLM flies flying at all our embassies and consulates signals that we are weak and distracted, as well as ignorant and morally decadent. To imagine the Chinese, who are atheistic, think that we are so immoral. It's just like, wow, you know, how could that be, you know? Meanwhile, Chairman Biden has given the gift of Afghanistan to China for their Belt and Road program. Afghanistan's border in China, as well as Iran. China ally Pakistan sent troops and air power to help the Taliban defeat the holdout Panjshir Valley rebels. This actually angered Iran, and Iran condemned it because, while Iran and China and Afghanistan can have good relations, they do not have necessarily good relations with Pakistan. And Pakistan, lots of Chinese are killed in terrorist attacks in Pakistan. So this Afghanistan corridor is a godsend to the Chinese. Okay. All of this is critical for Iran, whose economy is on life support and whose people are disgusted by the Ayatollah's rule. On a typical Friday in Iran, only 1% of the people attend the Friday mosque, okay, which is the big...
What percent?
1%. 1%.
Wow.
Not only that, before this religious state, okay, there are about 60% of all professional degrees are earned by women, not by men. So their society is not behind the Ayatollahs. Iraq is trying to now isolate Iran in the Middle East by forming a bloc against Iran. At first, they were talking about Saudi Arabia and Iran sitting down to talk peace, but then they decided, well, why don't we be the ones who can block Iran's access to the Mediterranean, so why don't we join the Abraham Accords nations of Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Israel, and be a thorn in Iran's side. Iran has had to cut funding for Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. The Iranian people are tired of living in poverty while money is lavishly spent on these terror groups. They're just not putting up with it. They have power blackouts. They have food shortages. They have water blackouts, water shutoffs sometimes. They have water shortages. And Iran is spending money in the Gaza Strip in Lebanon. Well, the people are tired of that. Okay. So Chairman Biden is also indebted to the Ukraine for his family's wealth, and President Zelensky has vowed to take Crimea back from Russia. Russia is not on our side, but has decided again that China is a problem for them because they have the Taliban in their pocket. Not only that, but the Chinese are egging on Ukraine also.
Ukraine. Excuse me. Is Zelensky nuts? Is he a paid puppet? Yeah.
He's
got to be.
He's just there to make trouble. This is the excuse. China's not going to be the World War III for us. It's going to be the Ukraine and Russia that will be the World War III for us. Okay. So whose side is Russia on? Well, they are warming up to Japan and prefer them over China. Russia is recognizing Taiwan as an independent nation by the way they treat them. Russians can travel to Taiwan visa-free. Finally, China is aggravating Russia over the Ukraine. And I'll give you an example of this. We put out a little Olympic thing, like scorecard. We put it out on Twitter, the United States government did.
Did we lose Mitch? I don't see him. There we go.
We removed the flag. Okay. We did. But Russia had the entire Taiwan flag on there, and they would not take it off. So they're not getting, they don't kowtow to the Chinese like the United States does. Okay. So,
Wait, let me ask you a question. What is your timetable on the Taiwan issue? I mean, we figured it would happen before September. It didn't.
Well, September is actually a good time for them to come, the Chinese are very big about timing on things, and the Chinese Revolution, basically they celebrate it in the Golden Week of the 1st through the 7th of October. So, it could be before the Golden Week, or it could be during the Golden Week. Taiwan will think, well, it's Golden Week, they won't attack now. The Chinese are all about deception and stuff, so everybody knows it's coming. The Chinese still need it to be a surprise. The only thing that I think that the Chinese are mistaken about is that they think that when they invade Taiwan, and this is why they're letting that window close so much, is they think that Taiwan's going to submit to them within 2 or 3 days of the initial attack, which is very unlikely. Okay. The Taiwanese do not want to be a part of communist China.
No chance. So, well, we'll see. I don't think Biden is going to come to Taiwan's rescue. I just don't see it. I don't think our navy is not up to it. Anyway. If there really were general officers up to it. Come on, who's this Secretary of Defense? What an obscenity!
Yeah, Lloyd Upson. I mean, all those guys. There's nothing. There's nothing about them that is leadership. There's nothing about them that's decisive. I mean, what is our Joint Chiefs of Staff sit around talking about? Oh, climate change is the biggest threat to America. And, well, wokeness and white supremacy, white rage, that's what the threats to America are. And you know what? None of those threats are anything that the Department of Defense needs to concern itself with. Okay? It's not their job.
Right.
So, anyways, America's collapsing before our eyes right now. It would seem that we are right now in such an unpredictable and unstable world that everything something relatively minor can set off World War III. USA is not considered an obstacle to anyone. We are perceived as unfathomably weak and ignorant with an incapable woke military. As the COVID vaccine mandates and the hatred towards the unvaccinated builds, our nation will crumble. We are just days, weeks, or at most months away from being a failed state. As for World War III, the best time to kick a man is when he's already down. We are on the precipice of global collapse that will create the conditions for the one world government of planetary salvation and the Great Reset. In fact, everything is going as planned by the globalist elite. Okay, so it looks like chaos to us, but it is their plan. It is what they want to do. Okay, and everything's going according to their plan, more so than I would have ever imagined. 2 years ago, I did not see how they were going to do this, but now it's so clear how they're doing it. They got around the Constitution with a public health order. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you can suspend the Bill of Rights with a public health order. They just did it, and Americans have accepted it. Okay, our military has accepted it. Our law enforcement has accepted it. Everybody has just accepted something that is absolutely not permitted. What do they not understand inalienable rights?
They don't understand. They don't understand the word. They don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand. Yeah. And furthermore, I do believe there is a mass EMF attack being perpetrated against the American people, all of them. Now, some of it is directed in certain areas of the country, some in big cities, some in rural areas. I think they have a tremendous latitude to play on here, and they're putting thoughts.
Yes.
We do know now they are putting thoughts in people's minds to go ahead and get the vax. It won't hurt you. It's fine.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead and get it. So they, I think, are doing things that most Americans would flat refuse to believe.
I think so. I mean, nobody's making a big deal. Look at what's been lost in the past year. In other words, they have already changed and altered our life 180 degrees from what it was a year ago. Okay, we can't do the things that we used to be able to do. And they keep saying, well, once everybody's vaccinated, we can go back to normal. Well, I assure you that they will never go back to normal. They are never going to give up this opportunity to control people like they are now. They pulled this public health thing on us, got rid of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. They still act like we have them, but we don't, in fact, have them. Okay? In fact, they're gone, and they're not coming back. Okay? We've already accepted so much nonsense as being something that we're supposed to do, wearing masks, social distancing. That is, it's absurd. Those things do not protect you from any disease at all. There's only one suggestion that they made that will protect you from a disease, and that's hand washing. Okay, that's it. Nothing else that they tell you to do will prevent you from catching a disease. Nothing.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah. And the hand washing thing, that's very old. That was actually the single most important advance in modern medicine. This happened in 1857. There was a Dr. Semmelweis in Austria, Vienna, Austria, and he ran a hospital. They delivered babies there. We we found out that, like in the hospital, all the babies and the moms die. But when they have midwives go out to the people's homes, well, those babies usually live. So he said, okay, there's something wrong. Now, you got to remember, there was no germ theory of disease at that point. So he just had to say, well, okay, let's just try to do something different. And he said, okay, when you take care of patient A, before you go take care of patient B, you have to wash your hands thoroughly. And then that caused, like, an 80% survival rate in all medical procedures just by hand washing. Okay. So that's the only thing the CDC has offered as information to keep you from catching a disease that actually works. But that's very old information. It's nothing new. It's something that they've been practicing for 150 years, and it works, you know. So, you know, all the other stuff, why did they institute it? Why were we standing in these long lines in Walmart and only so many people in the store and them blaring propaganda music out in the freezing cold and in the rain and stuff so people could get sick. But everybody just stood in line like cattle and obeyed, you know.
Okay, that goes back to what I said. There's something being done to people to make them tranquil and obedient. There's no doubt about it. They may bitch a little bit, but they do what's expected of them. They take that shot, and they just pounce on anybody who questions them about it. Everybody who doesn't go along with what seems to be the government mainstream line is now considered a domestic terrorist, a nut, a lunatic, whatever. It's not normal American cultural activity. I've not seen this before. It's new to me. And it has split the country at least in half. What's that?
It's new to me also. It's, you know, I've been on this planet for a long time. And like I've said previously on this program, I've lived in communist countries when I was in the military. I lived in communist countries. And sure. The worst communist country I've ever been in is the United States of America. This is the most restrictive place. This is the place where the government is more into your business than any other country in the world. But there's an explanation for that. Let me give you an example. I was in Bolivia where they had a socialist dictator. This is back in 1984, Hernan Siles Suazo government. And they had bread lines. They had all the usual socialist stuff. They had inflation so much that to change $100, you had to take a grocery sack out to get the Bolivian money that was equivalent to $100. Okay, so everything was a mess and everything. But as soon as you leave La Paz in the city limit and go out to the countryside of Bolivia, you were free to do whatever you want. As long as you weren't trying to overthrow the government, they could care less what you did. Even flying into the country, I wanted a stamp. I wanted a stamp where I got in because it's kind of like a thing, collect things on my passport. And so when I went through immigration, they said, well, you don't need anything, just go, you know. I said, well, I'd like to have one, you know, just so I can say I've been here. And they walked me down to an office and they asked this guy, hey, do you have an entry stamp in your drawer? And he says, yeah. Hey, why? He says, well, this guy wants one. He says, oh, okay. Boom. And he sent me. But it's like they didn't care if I came. Funny. They didn't care if I went. So although it was a dictatorship, a socialist dictatorship, your life was free, and that's because the government was so poor that it only had enough money to enforce things against those persons who were threatening it. Okay, whereas the United States is a very rich country, and they can nickel and dime you over the most petty nonsense you can imagine. We have enough money to actually oppress the people. And oppression is what I see. It's just depression.
Constant. And if you read history, we weren't there. But the darkest days of Bolshevik Russia, Soviet Stalinist Russia, like this, I would guess. You know, the technology is different, but the attitude was similar. And then the East German Stasi, very much total surveillance, brutality. So we're getting very close to those. And certainly under Chairman Mao, I don't know how many he killed, 60 million, something like that. So there are precedents, and Pol Pot, you can't forget about him. So, yeah, getting worse. It's getting worse. How much worse will it get before we completely collapse and give up? I don't know, but that's their plan, to find out.
That's right. That's right. It's coming upon us.
Superior presentation. Thank you, Mitchell. Wonderful. Excellent.
Okay, thank you. And have a good week. Okay, Jeff?
You too. Take care. Mitch Henderson, really, he puts these together each week, and they're like top-flight briefs. All right, hold on a minute. We'll be right back with a lot of information that will be, I think, very fascinating to you. Next.